In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There seems to be a theme to our epistle and our gospel reading today in getting caught up in the wrong thing. When our Lord sends out the 70, 35 pairs of people to go ahead of him, to go into the villages and prepare the way, they come back all excited because they're able to cast out demons. And I can understand this. I've never cast out a demon personally, and I really have no desire to. And if you feel you have one that needs casting out, call the bishop. Or tell me, I'll call the bishop, but it's not something I really want to deal with. So let's avoid it if at all possible. But I can understand why they would be so excited. I mean, I've seen The Exorcist. It looks like it'd be a pretty cool thing to be able to cast out demons. And I can see you being excited about it. But, you know, the thing is, Jesus didn't really mention that aspect of the job when he sent them out. Twice now, he says, eat what is set before you. So I'm thinking food was an important aspect here. But casting out demons wasn't there. Cure the sick that are brought to you. That's a good thing. And I'm sure they did that. That they would go into the towns. They would find someone who would welcome them. They'd go and stay with them. Notice he says, don't move around from house to house. Don't have any buyer's remorse. I shouldn't have gone to that first house. Man, next door, they have steak every night. This house, eh. No, don't move around. That's not what you're there for. You're there to proclaim the kingdom of God is near. So don't get bogged down in the details. But then they are able to cast out demons, and then that seems kind of fun for them, I suppose. They're excited about it. Sometimes we pick the wrong things, or we seek out the wrong things to be excited about. I mean, I'm sure they were excited, but then it became about them and what they were able to do. Something that Paul was talking about. When he writes to the church of Galatia, his whole letter of Galatians, and we're here at the end of it at this point, at chapter 6, but the whole letter has been about how the Galatians have forgotten what Paul taught them. When Paul went there, it was a largely Gentile area. There was a Jewish synagogue, but mainly it was Gentiles. And Paul explained to them how through Jesus Christ, the promises that God had made to Israel, that God would be God of Israel, but also God of the whole world, that time had come in Jesus Christ, that with the advent of Christ, those promises to bring the Gentiles in had started. It was the time, and Paul was excited about that and inviting the Gentiles in. And they worshiped and celebrated and had a great time, and then Paul moved on to the next town, and apparently people came from Jerusalem behind him and said, Paul told you what? You don't have to be circumcised? No, right here in the Bible. It says, make sure you're circumcised. Terrible things happen if you're not circumcised. God was going to kill Moses because he didn't circumcise his son. You think you're going to be spared? I mean, it's pretty compelling. And Paul had left at this point. And the people were like, well, you know, that's right, I guess. Okay, sorry, but you have to be circumcised. And I think I've mentioned before, at 8 days old, it's not that big a deal to be circumcised. But if you're 30 and someone's coming at you with a sharp rock near that rather sensitive area, it's a bit of a deal breaker. Thanks, guys. I'm going back to Zeus. And Paul writes them and says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I told you, don't you remember? Even if I came back and told you something different from what I told you the first time, don't listen to me because I'm lying. I told you the truth the first time. It's not about being circumcised or uncircumcised or anything like that. It's about God and love and Jesus Christ and what God has done for us. And that in Christ, we are new creations, and you don't have to do anything to any private areas to make that a reality in your life. There should be joy. And those people who came after me saying, nah, we need to, you know, lop something off. They're just doing that so they can put tally marks on a scroll. They're seeking out the thrill and the adventure of being able to control somebody else. And that's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about controlling others. It's about inviting in. It's about spreading the good news that the kingdom of God is near. It's not something that only happens after you die. It's not something that happens far away and up above and in the future. The kingdom of God is here, is now. We live in the kingdom of God. We also live in the kingdom of the world. There are two kingdoms that we live in simultaneously. And quite often, they are at odds with each other. When Jesus tells parables trying to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like, it's about discovering joy and happiness and wonderful things and loving your neighbor and building each other up and compassion and forgiveness. But then the kingdoms of the world don't act like that. It's about looking out for yourself, taking care of yourself. Don't trust anybody. Get what you can while you can and keep it as closely held as you possibly can. It's totally different from the kingdom of God, which is about love. We focus on the wrong things. We're excited about casting out demons, metaphorically speaking, and lose sight of the real joy that the kingdom of God is in our midst. As we sit here in these pews, we're sitting in an embassy of the kingdom of God. And then we walk out those doors and we spread the kingdom everywhere we go. That each and every one of us is an ambassador for God's kingdom. That we are called by virtue of our baptism to spread the good news of God in Christ. To make God's kingdom a greater reality in creation than the kingdoms of the earth. To stand up against those forces that say it's all about you and what you want. And to say it's about us and about what God wants. And we're sent out like sheep among wolves. But very tough sheep who have an incredible shepherd who guards us and protects us and sustains us and carries us and seeks us out when we wander off. So we're sheep, but we're not sheeple. We're part of an incredible flock of an incredible shepherd who sends us out to do incredible things in his name. And we can and will do that because we have the grace and the love of God sending us out and calling us home. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.